All right, James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Again, this is on effective communication. It says, "So then, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Now turn over about a page to chapter 4. In verse 1, it says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasure." Amen. And then Proverbs verse chapter 24, verse 3 and 4, sort of our key verse here we're going off of. It says, "By knowledge the rooms are filled." I'm sorry, is that the second part? Is there a first part? Yeah. "Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." We want your home to be a prosperous house, more than money. I want your house, if you live together with your spouse for 40, 50, 60 years, I want it to be filled with great memories, with healthy children, and great things. I think that verse is so much more than talking about money. So some of the things that we're going to learn today, if you'll listen, and if you'll allow the Spirit of God to touch your heart, He will change your life today through this message. Now, I will say this. I would rather preach on faith. I'd rather preach on salvation. I'd rather preach a lot of different messages. I'm just a Pentecostal preacher, and I'd rather go with that. But this is what the Lord has told me to speak on. He's instructed me, "I want you to teach some messages on the family. How can we improve? The church is only as healthy as the families that are in the church. So we need to get healthy." And so this is, in my mindset, I'm preaching to you in your home. But you also can apply this to your work. You can apply it to your children. You can apply it to everybody, because communication is how we know each other, right? So the very first thing it says, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so I've all my life, I've thought of that. Have you ever got mad at sinners? Yeah? You get mad at sinners because why? Because they keep sinning, right? Well, dogs bark and cats meow, and sinners are going to keep sinning. And your anger does not produce the result that you want. Does that make sense? My anger has never caused somebody to repent. But I want you to think about it in a new light for just a second. Neither does my anger produce the fruit of righteousness in my home. So when anger rises up and when wrath rises up, communication goes down. People quit listening and they're just hearing your rant. So once we understand that, my anger is not producing the result in my wife or in our home that I want it to. So why not settle down? Why not love each other in a righteous way? Why not do it God's way? It's actually, the wrath of man, the anger of man, is actually a terrible way to communicate. And we do it often. The Bible tells men especially, don't exasperate your children. Why? Because we have, that sort of comes common to men. Communication is how we know each other. If I know you, if we have a relation, it's only because we have spent some time together. We have went to lunch together. We have been in Bible studies together. And we have exchanged ideas. And so I know a little bit more about you. No one knows me in this place like the woman on the front row. Amber knows me really well. No. Treva knows me. She can read me. She knows when I get upset. She reads my eyes. She said, your mouth didn't say anything, but your eyes sure spoke. You know, I mean, I saw darts coming from your eyes. And so that's how we get to know each other, is through our communication. It's how we express our needs. It's also how we resolve conflicts. Communication is more than speaking. I learned this as a freshman in college. You wouldn't think I would have had to go to college to learn this, but here's your college lesson today. Communication is speaking and listening. So the verse that we opened up with, let me give you the Tennessee version. You have two ears and one mouth, so you ought to listen twice as much as you speak. Now that's not hard for some of you. But to others, ooh, that's a challenge. You know, it's a challenge to shut up and to let him talk, let the other person talk. So disagreements and conflict in your marriage and on your job are inevitable. As long as you're breathing and as the other person is breathing, as long as both of you are using your brain, even to the least little bit, you're going to have conflicts. You're going to have disagreements. But that doesn't mean you have to fight. Disagreements, conflicts are inevitable. Fighting is a choice. Now that may totally rearrange your marriage. Do you know you could go home today and you could determine, maybe if your spouse is here too, you could determine the fighting is over. We're not going to fight anymore. Say, what are you going to do? You're going to use a lot of duct tape is what you're going to use. You're going to learn new ways of communicating. So the reason we fight, and Scripture just said this, is because we want our way. I want to win. I don't necessarily want what's best for us. I want what's best for me. So it's selfish. So when we determine that we want our family, our home, our job to lift up the name of Christ, we're going to do things different. We've got to decide it's not about me winning. I'm not 2 years old anymore. I don't have to have my own way. I can decide to put others first. It's probably not going to come easy, but it can come. Now before, a lot of the talk that we're going to do is coming sort of from a negative point of view on how to fix things. But first, I want to start off with, why not do things right in the beginning? So life is not all about fixing things. Sometimes life is just, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just did it right the first time? Are you like me? I hate to redo things. I was working at Kinlake Foods one time, and they put me in charge of the redoing stuff. I hated it. I'm like, all I'm doing is fixing everybody's mistakes. I'm not like that. I don't like that. And so my middle son, my youngest son, who is a whole lot like I am, God help him, he and his wife, he read a book and he saw the wisdom of this book. And so they got together and they thought, you know what would help our marriage is if we just took Sunday night and let's just have a meeting every Sunday night. And so that's what he did. So they came together every Sunday night. They'd cook dinner together. They'd have a nice meal and they would bring their calendars to the table and they'd say, what do you have planned this week? Well, here's what I've got to do. I've got to work late this night. I've got to work over this night. These are the things. She said, what do you want to eat this week? Well, let's plan that. Hey, how about a date night this week? Married people can still date. Isn't that a marvelous idea? No? Okay, I'm getting back up here. You guys are tough today. Don't mess with my marriage. Conflicts and disagreements are because both of us have strong opinions. And that's okay. And so we can use strong opinions if we will listen. we can actually grow and become stronger. Our marriage can become better if we'll listen to each other. I'm not always right. 99.9% I am, but there is a slight percentage. A tree is about to throw up here. So conflicts grow from your uniqueness because you're different. God did not put you together to frustrate you. It may appear that way, right? I mean, look at the school fields. They're not even sitting together. Keep her away from Trudy. Trudy's got a massive right. Some of your uniqueness is going to complement your home, right? I told a young couple that I'm doing some premarital counseling. Gender roles are out. If you're as old as I am, we had gender roles. Does that make sense? G-E-N-D-E-R, gender roles. So the man mowed the yard, right? The woman cooked and cleaned the dishes and cleaned the house and bought the groceries and raised the children and changed the diapers. Now that sounds like a pretty fair choice, if you ask me. But that's not today. Are you following me? Today, you may have the man that cooks as much as the woman, or maybe more. There are a lot of women that are getting married today that can't boil water. But the male cooks. So who should do that? Well, she should, because she's... No. I talk to families all the time. Who's the best at handling money? Oftentimes, it's the wife. But gender roles would say, no, the man's got to do that. No, you're ridiculous. That's just stupid. Can I say that in the house of God? You know, let the person that's gifted in that... How many women love to mow the yard? Yeah, I wish I was married to you. No. Okay, I'm teasing. Okay, let me give you just a bit of bad news. The euphoric feeling of being in love when you get married, right? That high feeling that you get. He walks in the house and you go, oh, you know. On average, that lasts about 2 years. And then it's gone. And then feelings come and go. And say, well, we know that. Well, yeah, but if you build your life on feelings, then you may go when the feelings go. You know, build your life on feelings. Because I promise you, that's going to go. Things are going to change. Stomachs develop as we age. Things get bigger. So you need to build your life on God's Word. Some of the differences in our marriage complement us. Others are divisive. And the Bible gives us this. He says, it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. It's not always the big stuff. Sometimes it's the little stuff. It's just like she squeezes the toothpaste from the middle. And it drives me crazy, right? Well, buy a pump. I mean, it just... I can solve this one for you just like that. So, you know, how you chew sometimes irritates people. Have you ever had somebody who likes to chew ice? You know, it's just, oh my, it's like scraping a board. We use the word argue. But it should never be in a home. See, the word argue actually comes from the courthouse. It comes from lawyers. They arguing a case. And when you argue a case, your intention is winning. Lawyers argue so they can win. Well, we brought that same attitude into the home. So we ought not argue. We need to look for win-win situations, and we will talk a little bit more about that in just a second. So there are social scientists that today that can look at marriages and homes, and they can give a prediction of divorce. And the number one thing that they look for is criticism. How much do they criticize each other? Are their words building up or tearing down? And so those are things that we can change, right? You need to understand that negativity is the devil's language. So when you're speaking negative, 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 you're coming in line with the devil. Let's look at truths from the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, I'm not going to read this verse to you, but I want you to know it says something like this. There's six things that God hates, yea, seven are an abomination before the Lord, or detestable to the Lord. And of those seven things that he lists, three of them have to do with your tongue. It's a lying tongue. It's a, what is it, the second one? It's false witness. And then one who sows discord. You may think, well, one who sows discord is not talking about that. How do we sow discord? Through our tongue. Now, I promise you that Jesus and I would have a different list. That I would have a different list from God. Those would not be my top seven, but they're his top seven. And if they're his top seven, I need to listen to that. So I just want to start with this. And you need to listen. Christian people, stop your stinking lying. You hear me? It does not benefit you in any way. See, marriage is based on love. Love is based on trust. Lying will erode the foundation of your home. But let's go a little deeper. It also will erode your work relationship. So your boss needs to know not only are you a good worker, but you're a truth teller. Several years ago, I was in the church fellowship hall, or in the foyer actually, gossiping about somebody. Thank the Lord, he's redeemed me too a little bit. Now this was last month, so no, I'm too. This was about 30 years ago, and I'm mad and I'm just letting it fly. Just so happened though, the guy that I'm gossiping about is standing right behind me. Isn't that the way it works out? And so he comes up to me, gets in front of me, and he says, "Are you talking about me?" And I knew at that moment, I have a choice. I can lie and be found out, or I can tell the truth and own it. And I said, "Yes, I am. And I'm very sorry." And from that truth developed a great relationship and a great friendship. And I am convinced that if I had tried to lie out of that, that it would have eroded what little relationship we have. Folks, there's sometimes when your wife's going to come to you, or your husband's going to come to you, and did you do this? And why did you do this? And blah, blah, blah. And lying out of it is the worst thing you can do. You have to own it. You have to take responsibility. It comes best if it's followed by an apology. Yeah, I did that. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Right? I spent the money that you had saved for this, and I bought me a new shotgun. Hallelujah. But I really needed that. It's amazing how foolish we become because we're selfish. And we allow selfishness sometimes to drive us. But folks, if you don't hear anything I say, I want you to get this one. The lying's got to stop. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, all liars go to, yeah, the Baptist church, but don't tell them. No, I'm saying, all liars. I need to throw that joke away. I know I do. I've been saying that. Obviously, a few of them come here because that's what the Lord is telling me to talk about. So let's look in the Word of God and gain more truth from it than just that. Proverbs 18:21 said, "Death and power in the death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit." You need to know, in every situation, you have a choice. I can either speak life into something or I can speak death into it. And sometimes you just have to make yourself be quiet. You just have to settle it down. In Proverbs 15:1, he says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." You can continue to fight if you want. And you know it. Don't you? I mean, when something is developing at work, come on. You and your coworker are sort of at it. And in your heart, you're thinking, "I just need to say one more thing." And wisdom would say, "Shut up." A soft word. Maybe an apology. Right? Don't add fuel to the fire. Let the fire go out. 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." Have you ever felt like you just had diarrhea of the mouth? You just couldn't shut up? I remember talking to a girl in this fellowship hall, and I was so excited that something was happening that just really excited me. This has been several years ago. And as soon as I spoke it, she wilted. You know, you've seen that, right? You've seen people just, like I just delivered the worst news in the world, and I'm just like, I'm just giddy about it. It's so wonderful. And she just, And so what did I do? I just kept talking. I just kept telling her more about it and more about it. And the more I got excited about it, the more I talked about it, and I saw it. Right in front of my eyes, I thought, "I'm killing this girl, and I can't shut up." Wisdom says, shut up. Sometimes you just got to clamp it. Don't you? That's not real scientific, is it? Sometimes we just need to be quiet. Sometimes we need to say, "Jesus, take control of my mouth." My brother-in-law, Eddie, he's a quiet guy. And all my life, I've been jealous of him. I'm like, "Oh, man, I wish I wasn't as smart as I am and had so much wisdom that I need to share." I wish I didn't have this mouth. 10:19 says, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." You know people like that? They're just, it's like they meditate on everything that they say. I have a pastor friend in Murray who's retired at this point, still ministering, I believe. His name is John Dale, his Church of Christ pastor. Bible says that our words can be like apples of gold in a place setting of silver. I've told Treva often, I said, I don't know how John does it, but it's like no matter where he's at, he's always got the right word to speak. I mean, I just think that comes from being with God. I sure don't have that, but I think the Lord can bless us with it, right? I think the Lord can help us, but we have to submit. There's that ugly word. Submit to him and allow him to talk through us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, Ephesians chapter 4 is all about the church body. And so he starts off in verse 11 saying, "I've given some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry," right? And so, but he goes on in verse 15 and he says, "Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things into him who is the head, Christ." Now, I have met people that like to speak the truth, and they really could care less about how the truth hits you. You ever met a mean preacher? You know, the Bible is truth, right? The Word of God is truth. But do you know the Word of God can kill you? See, we can use the word as a hatchet or as a scalpel. We want to use the word as a scalpel with precision, exactness, And that's where love comes in. Does this make sense to you? See, when you're dealing with your spouse, you may not get to tell all the truth that you want to tell. Matter of fact, you should keep your mouth shut until you know that the truth that you're getting ready to share is coming out of a heart of love. Don't correct anybody. Don't go to work like that. Well, I'm going to tell that coworker of mine, I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. And it's possible that you have the truth on it, that you know exactly what she needs to do. But until you can get in a spirit of love to where I want to benefit her, not kill her, keep your mouth shut. Good word, Pastor. Thank you. I thought that was good too. He says then in verse 29 of the same chapter, he says, let no corrupt word. I looked that word up, corrupt. It means unwholesome, rotten, worthless. Let no rotten word, let no unwholesome word come from your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now, let me talk to the men for just a second. What if we took that word and we applied it to our spouses? Where we never spoke a word harshly to our wife again. We only would speak words that would build her up. Now, I am not talking about falseness. I don't believe in flattery. Flattery is a lie. I'm talking about speaking the truth in love, but building people up. What if a church did that? What if the church took an oath that all we're going to do is try to encourage and build up? Do you know, the Word of God builds you up and encourages you, but sometimes it has to take you down a notch before it builds you up. Sometimes it has to come out with truths like, quit your lying. Now speak truth. You know, it's hard to stop an offending behavior unless you replace it. It's hard to stop thinking about something, but I can replace that stinking thought with truthful thoughts. So if I'm going to stop the lying, I'm going to replace it with speaking the truth in love. With saying, I want my words to be edifying. Come on, does that verse not minister to you? Let my words be apples of gold in a place setting of silver. Does that not minister to you? Don't you want to be the guy at the funeral when you speak to the wife, when you speak to the person that's hurting, that the words of God flows out of your mouth and so healing comes out of your mouth? That could be you. How many people says, I don't like to go to funerals, I don't like to go to visitations because I just don't know what to say. Right? I don't know what to say. So my encouragement usually is don't say anything, just let them know you're there. Sign the book. Because every family I know, after the death of a spouse, a few weeks later, they get that book back out. And they start going through that book and said, did you know Sheila was here? Did you know so-and-so? I missed her. I didn't know she came. And it brings comfort to them. Folks, I believe that God wants to use us to comfort people, to bring healing to them. Yes, I'm talking about the home specifically, but so much more. Right? You use that mouth a whole lot more than at home. Right? So why not take a godly mouth into an ungodly world so that you will shine like a light? Do you know how hungry people are for people that speak life? In a world of negativity, in a world that's talking about doom, gloom, and despair, you can come in and talk about hope and joy and peace and the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, your environment will change when your words change. Thank you for that. I feel like that was just like, let's get him over. Come on. 1 Peter 3:10 says, for he who would love life, I love life, and I want to see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Speaking deceit. I looked it up. It's telling lies. Let's refrain from that. You want to see good days, good life? You need to quit lying. Quit speaking deceitfully. The last point I want to make is, how do you resolve conflicts? Again, I told you, conflicts are inevitable. They're inevitable at work. They're inevitable in your home. They're inevitable at church. We're going to have conflicts. We're not unspiritual because we're having conflicts. I just taught on Wednesday night about two sisters in the church that could not resolve their conflicts. And Paul is writing to the church and he's saying, help them out. Come alongside and help them resolve this conflict. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God ministered to me so much as I was reading this story, because he never condemned the ladies. He never said, shame on you. Why don't you get alone in your prayer closet? You know what he said? Listen, these ladies have helped me in the work of the ministry. Number one. Number two, these ladies' names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But they're having a conflict. And conflict to us means unspiritual. It means somebody's not living right. And that's not true. You can have two godly people that love Jesus with all their heart, that are spiritually sound, and there's still going to be conflict. Why? Because God gave them both a brain. And we are different people. More than our parts, we are different in how we think. Man, I was talking to a guy. I went to Jason's dad's funeral. I love the way the Mennonites do funerals. I waited in line for an hour to get up there because the whole community comes together. We had a funeral yesterday. A church of 350. We had 8 people here of you to support a lady who'd lost her husband. I think that's a bit of an indictment about the love that we say we have. Say, well, I didn't know her. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is that when someone's hurting, we come alongside and we help them. So I really encourage you, whether you know them or not, funerals are important. They really are. It's more than closure, because you don't need closure if you didn't know Glenn. But we need to show a woman that we love her and we're standing with her, right? So let love be sincere. Number one, we need to quit seeking to rid ourselves of our differences. And let's turn our differences into assets. Yes, Treva and I are different. I used to think that I was the extrovert and she was the introvert. In 43 years, that has flip-flopped. And I don't know why, but the older I get, the more introverted I become. The more extroverted she becomes. In Murray, I knew so many people and she did not. But in Paris, God placed her. This was a word from God. God said to her, I'm placing you in the heart of the city to win the heart of the people. And that's exactly what she has done in 6 years in the courthouse. Not that everybody's come to know Jesus, but man, it gets a little sickening when people are coming up and saying, you got the sweetest wife. And I agree. That can be a difference that we could let divide us, or it can complement us. I'm a man that likes to cook, but I don't like to clean up. And Treva doesn't mind cleaning up, but she don't like cooking much anymore. So that difference is becoming a strength. Does that make sense? Treva does as much counseling in this place as I do, maybe more. People call her. They don't call me. I could get jealous over that, but I don't. I promise you I don't. Her number is 270-227. I love that. Are you following me? You can let your differences divide you, or you can say, hey, God has given me a gift in my wife, in my husband. Right? Let's use it as a gift. Now, when you have a conflict, you need to realize there's different outcomes of conflicts. Work, wherever you're at. You don't win all the time. You need to look for a win-win. See, if we get in a fight and I get my way, I have scalded her. So did I really win? If she's mad at me and now she won't talk to me, or now she's not like that, but I am. Who would have guessed? Such a man of God. You know, if I win at her cost, or if she wins at my cost, did I really win? No. You know, sometimes it's a win-win is a compromise. And we think of that compromise as being nobody really wins. No, you both really win. Sometimes, if you stop and listen, you actually may understand that the other person actually has the wisdom on this situation. They're right. And I'm... and I'm wrong. So, we'll do it your way. But it benefits the family. It benefits the job. It might be that you say, I want to paint that wall blue. She said, no, that wall is going to be yellow. So that wall is going to be green now. So we're going to paint yellow up this high and blue down that. You get what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes, but here's maybe the one thing that you have never considered. I have worked with boards for 30 years. To most preachers, that's almost a cuss word, because preachers have trouble with boards. I have never had one problem with a board. And here's the wisdom that we use. First, I try to be transparent. But second is, if we can't get in unity, especially in church, if we can't get in unity, let's just table it. Does it have to be decided today? The decisions that are so gripping your house, so eroding your foundation at work, does it have to be done today? If it doesn't, can we put that off and allow the Holy Spirit to work? Do you know the Holy Spirit will work? You do not have to solve your own problems. He will come alongside. I'm telling you, I promise you, I'm telling you truth. The Spirit of God can drop wisdom in your heart. My pastor, Daryl Ramsey, told me this story many years ago. He and his wife had got out of bed and started getting ready and had a huge fight. I mean, rah, 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 you know, just arguing and fighting. And he said, I was in the bathroom shaving. And he said, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, how's your day going to go today? Well, everybody knows, right? It's going to be awful. Because you're started off with a fight, and you're going to carry that grief. You're going to carry that anxiety with you all day long. And he says, you have an opportunity to change this. And he thought, I need to change it. He said, as I stepped out of the bathroom to go find my wife, she was coming up the stairs because the Holy Spirit had been talking to her too. And they met in the middle. Hallelujah. And they forgave each other. And they had a wonderful day. Why? Because they allowed the Holy Spirit to be Lord of their life. Do you know how many things, you know, we don't wrestle flesh and blood. Do you know how many things that are going on in your life right now? If you submitted it to God, He'd take care of it. He'd give you wisdom. My pastor used to say, one word from God will change your life. Anybody need a word from God? Anybody need a piece of wisdom? Let's go on Let's go on quickly. The first thing we need to do is listen and affirm. So we're not good at listening. You know, the average, when we listen, the average person will interject a thought within 17 seconds. I am not average. I will interject a thought in about 6 seconds. But we need to learn to listen to the other person so that we can. So here's the best thing to do. Repeat what they said. So there was two girls in my office one time, and when I was running senior citizens, and one was a younger, very highly educated girl. The other was an older lady, had a poor self-esteem, actually didn't even graduate high school. Wonderful woman that I loved with all my heart, but they hated each other. They couldn't get along. I finally had enough of it. It was hindering the work. And I said, you two get in my office right now. And I already had two chairs set up. And I said, now sit down. You're going to talk to each other. And I said, called one by name. And I said, you tell her what your problem is. And so the first lady's name was Rachel. She's passed away now. But she told this other girl everything that was wrong. And I said, okay, now you tell her back what she said. And so she repeated it best she could. And I said, I looked at Rachel and I said, Rachel, is that what you were saying? Is that what you meant? And she said, no, that's not what I meant. That's not what I said. That's exactly the problem. She never listens to me, blah, blah, blah. And going on a rant. And I said, hold on. Say it again. And so the second time she said it, then the other girl repeated it. And Rachel said, that's it. And Danielle looked at her and she said, I'm so sorry. Was never my intention. Will you forgive me? I remember, that's been 30 years ago. I remember it like it was yesterday. They didn't become best friends, but I never had a problem with them again. They worked well together. They were co-workers. Are you getting me? It works in your home. Now I'm going to place this on your husbands. Husbands, if you'll shut up, if you'll ask your wife what's really going on in that little thinking, that little mind of yours. No. What are you thinking? Tell me where have I gone wrong? Where have I offended you? What are you thinking on this? And then repeat it. Listen. Don't talk while she's talking. Listen. And then repeat what she said. Folks, this sounds simple. It sounds childish. I'm telling you, this works. I make Treba do this all the time. No. So, if you can repeat, and then give her the opportunity or give him the opportunity to say, no, that's not what I said. That's not, you're not getting my meaning. And until you can repeat it, you haven't listened. And once you can repeat it, then you can get to the root of the problem. You can either solve it, you can apologize for it, you can make plans, right? You can build a foundation, right? You can go on and do great things. So listening to resolve conflict may take learning some new skills. And you may be awkward with it. You remember the first time you used a screwdriver? You know, it was in there and out of there. And you don't, most people don't just handle tools the best at first. You have to learn how to use a tool. Well, this is a tool. Let me tell you. It's not always just the things you say. Sometimes it's your body language. Don't roll your eyes at me. Oh, buddy. You want to see me come unglued? Roll your eyes. Now, I know every one of you going to meet me at that door and you're going, I know you welch way too well. Body language counts is what I'm trying to tell you. The very first thing you need to do is affirm the relationship. Try by telling your wife how important she is to you. That it's your desire to fix this. You getting me? I mean, the last point I want to make is in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 35. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how long can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Listen to me. Change the root, change the fruit. Change the root, change the fruit. If things are coming out of your mouth that you don't even like. Now the Lord just gave this to me this morning. If things are coming out of your mouth that you don't like, in other words, anger or disgusting, if you keep bringing up things that happened 3 years ago, that ain't godly. Let's get past it. You may need to ask the Lord to put an axe, His holy axe, to your ungodly root. I don't feel this as strong in this service as I did the last service. But if ungodly jokes are coming out of your heart, out of your mouth, if you're saying things that are halfway nasty, that is not good. And that comes from a heart. You can try all you want to quit saying things like that. But what you need is to allow Jesus to put His holy axe to your unholy root. And it takes submission and humility on your part. And so that's one thing. It could be anger. It could be bitterness. It could be unforgiveness. It could be many, many different things that is generating things out of your mouth that you hadn't figured out. Where is this coming from? It could be a spirit of rejection. If you think everybody doesn't like you, that's a spirit of rejection working in your life. That's not true. Do you hear me? It's not true, but it's the way you perceive things. Then you need to ask Jesus. You know, that might have happened when you were 5 years old and you've been carrying it for a lifelong. And you just need to ask the Lord, Lord, will you put an axe to that root? Because I don't want to see through that paradigm anymore. I want to love people. And I want to feel their acceptance. I want to feel that they love me. I want to see through your eyes, not my eyes. Would you stand with me? I felt very specifically that the Lord wanted you to respond to this message today. I know it's a little bit after 12, but don't get in such a hurry that we miss God. If there's something that you need to change, but you need God's help, it may be your communication, but I'm going to say it's probably this last point. If there's things coming out of your mouth that you say, I need God to put an axe to my roots, I want you to step out of your seat. And I want you to come up and line up in front of this. And we're just going to pray for you together. But I felt like the Lord said this morning, this is a way of confession. And the Bible says that we should confess our sin so that we would be healed. God wants to heal you. God wants to change your life. But it's going to take some submission on your part. It's going to take some humility. It's not easy to do this. I want you to know, in the first service, almost every person came down. I had no idea. I'm telling you, folks, we need God. You hear me? Don't turn me off because of the clock. We need God. We need God to close some things down in our life. so that other things can come out. Okay, we're just going to give you a second. I know to many people this does not look important. Folks, this is important. Because you're telling God, I need your help. This is an open confession. You know, basically you're telling God and you're telling the rest of us, I ain't perfect. And I got news for you. We all know it. We know you're not perfect because there's no perfect people in here. So we need God. Now, only you know, and I don't even need to know. You know what God needs to put the axe to, okay? You know whether it's unwholesome talk, what if it's corrupt talk, what it is. You pray specifically. I will pray generally, okay? Father God, I come before you right now, so thankful that the Spirit of God is moving today. And that you have taken the word and you have broke it for us and you have poured oil and wine into the wounds of these folks. And you're going to continue this healing process. As we seek your face, Lord, as we seek your counsel, God, I believe that you're going to close some doors that have been open. God, I pray against that spirit of rejection in Jesus' name right now. God, that you would put an axe to that root. So that we would feel the love and acceptance of you and each other. God, I pray that, Lord, if there's any anger or bitterness or wrath, God, I pray, Lord, for unholy communion. I don't even know what that is, but Lord, unholy communion where we've been maybe joining hands with the devil. God, I pray, Lord, right now that you'd put an axe to that and close that door. Close that door in Jesus' name. Whatever is attracting us, Lord, away from you, I pray, God, put an axe to it, Lord. We submit these things into God. And I pray, Lord, today, do a work that only the Spirit of God can do. Lord, I know I could preach for a lifetime or I could get people to an altar that you could heal their heart in 30 seconds. I choose to let you move. We have broken the word of life. Now let the word bring healing and wholeness to the people. God, again I ask, pour in the oil. God, I feel in my spirit there's deep hurt. There are some deep, deep hurt that you want to heal. So take the scalpel and let's do some spiritual surgery as we stand before a holy God. God, I give you permission to go into my heart and pull out the bitterness. Get out the unforgiveness. Get out the hurt, Lord. Cut it out, God. Cut it out and get it out of my heart. All I want is to be pleasing in your sight. I want wholeness and healing. Pour in the oil. Pour in the Holy Ghost to bring healing to us. Heal our minds and our bodies, God, our spirit and our soul. Come against depression in Jesus' name. Father, heal these folks. In the precious, strong, and mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Denny, would you come?
Don't forget Wednesday at 6 o'clock, our leadership meeting. So if you're in leadership or even if you're not and you want to be involved in something in the church, I encourage you to come because this is how we communicate as a church body. You know, we just got done talking about communication, right? How important that is. So I encourage you to come at 6 o'clock so we can communicate together on Wednesday night. Okay. And then don't forget also, Saturday at 1 o'clock is the street outreach. If you have a kid or a grandkid or one of the kids that went to camp, it's your responsibility. I encourage you to bring them Saturday because it's such an encouragement to see youth and teens get involved and get to exercise their faith and do what Jesus told us to do, right? So I encourage you, if you have a kid going to camp, I encourage you to bring them Saturday so they can come with us. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.